the blessings of brokenness as displayed here in the life of David in Psalm 51. So we're going to read the entire psalm here to get us going in Psalm 51. The Bible says here, Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build Thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt Thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon Thine altar." Going to look here, like I said, at the blessings of brokenness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You again for today. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Lord, thank You for Your love for us, Lord, poured out on Calvary. Lord, we ask now that You meet with us here. Pray, Lord, You fill me with Your Spirit. Pray, Lord, You give me Your words. And I pray, Lord, You do what You do, and that's to speak to our hearts here today. And we'll give You the glory for what You do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. David loved God, and God loved David. And David wrote Psalm 51 for you and I. He wrote it for people just like you and I who have been broken, who are broken, who are ready to get right with God. You remember the account now. We've looked the last couple of weeks at what happened to David. And David had been lounging around the house when he should have been off at war. And he was in the palace. He wasn't in a sinful place. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And David looked upon a beautiful woman as she bathed, and he gave into that lust of his heart, and he ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba while her husband Uriah was off to war. Bathsheba becomes pregnant, and then David began to panic. And so he brings her husband Uriah home from the battlefield with the expectation that he would go home and be with his wife, and the whole secret would be covered up forever. But you know, we found out that Uriah was a very faithful man. He was a very faithful man, and he didn't go home at all. He refused to go home while all of his fellow soldiers slept out under the stars, slept out on the battlefield. And so all of these attempts made by David to make Uriah appear as though he was the baby's father, they failed, and they failed, and they failed. So David had one more plan. He was going to have Uriah killed in battle. And that's what he did. He wrote the order to put Uriah up there at the front of the fiercest battle, and he was killed in battle there. Adultery, murder, these are the sins of the king. These are the sins of David, the man after God's own heart. And about a year later, God sent Nathan the prophet to confront David about his sin. And you remember we looked at that last week. And Nathan came to David with a parable of two men, right? And Nathan point blank said in 2 Samuel 12:7 to David, he said, David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David, you are guilty. You are the one. In 2 Samuel 12:13, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. David was broken over his sin, and it's in that brokenness that he wrote this psalm for us today. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about brokenness can be a blessing. Think about that. Brokenness can be a blessing. But that's not what the world says, is it? Not what the world says. The world teaches us to hide our weakness, that we are to be prideful, we're to be strong, we're to be tough, and we're to avoid anything that makes us feel insignificant. But in God's eyes, remember my thoughts and His thoughts are not the same, are they? But in God's eyes, brokenness is the starting point for His blessings. I want us to get a hold of that. Brokenness is the starting point for His blessing. And this psalm here, it teaches us many things, but it teaches us that no matter how big we might think that our sin is, God's mercy is far greater than that. And so as we'll see here today, mercy doesn't come to the proud, it comes to the broken. So we're going to look here at the blessings of brokenness. And the first thing I want you to see here is that David is broken over his sin. David is broken over his sin in verses 1 through 3 here. And if you notice, I don't know if it's in your Bible, but it says right here before you get to verse 1, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. But here in verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Here's the thing. You will never get right with God until you are broken over your sin. Until you are grieved over your sin. Until you are broken over your sin. Until your sin becomes exceeding sinful in your eyes. That's where David is in this psalm. That's where David is in this psalm. In verse 1, he comes out and he says, have mercy upon me, O God. That's where we all need to begin. We all need to begin right there. Regarding our sin, that's the starting place. David is broken over his sin here, and he cries out for God's mercy. God's mercy. God's mercy is not getting what we deserve. Right? We deserve death and hell, and David here definitely deserved to be put to death because of his sins of adultery and murder, but God showed mercy. David was broken over his sin. He comes to David goes to the Lord and says, Lord, have mercy upon me. God, have mercy upon me. In Lamentations 3:22 and 3:23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And get this in verse 23. They are new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. Praise the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, His faithfulness. But praise God, because we need it. We have this flesh, we have this old man, we have this sin nature, we are living in this fallen world. We need His mercy every single day, and praise the Lord, His mercies are new every morning. In 2 Samuel 12:13, remember that, I said it already, but Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. See, the Lord forgave David. Under the law, David should have been put to death. The law comes from there in Leviticus 20, verse 10. It says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. David knew that. He knew the law. He knew what should have happened to him. And so the only thing that he can do is go before God and beg for mercy. David should not have been David should have been put to death for the punishment of his sin. A true repentance and true brokenness begins when you see sin for what it really is. Sin is against God. If sin isn't just a little thing, it's not just something between myself. You know, sin is transgression against a holy, righteous God. 1 John 3:4, the Bible says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is breaking God's law. God is holy, and when we sin, we break His holy law. But hey, David doesn't try to cover it up here. He doesn't try to cover it up. He doesn't try to hide from it. He doesn't blame, well, you know Bathsheba over there, she shouldn't have been lounging around naked on the rooftop. He doesn't say that, okay? He doesn't say, well, I'm only human. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, this was just one of those mistakes that I've made in life. He doesn't say that. He calls it sin. He plain point puts it here. He says, my sin is ever before me. Right? So we see here David no longer had a hard heart. His heart had been pierced. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Hey, remember in that parable of the two men, the one man, the rich man took the poor man's land and he sacrificed it and he gave it to the visitor there. David wanted to put him to death for that. But here we have David who committed adultery and murder. He says, my sin is ever before me. He was convicted. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. John chapter 16, verse number 8. And when He has come, the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. He will convict us of sin. That Holy Spirit knocks on the door of your heart. He is knocking. Hey. He convicts us of our sin. But in David's case here, David's brokenness, that sin had convicted him. And he cries out, not only my sin is ever before me, but he uses words, my transgression. My iniquities, my sin. Basically, what we see here is David's not making any excuses. Now, we like to make excuses, don't we? Right? We make excuses. We blame everything under the sun. We blame everybody. But we never look in the mirror and look at it and say, it's my sin. It's my fault. That's exactly what David did here. He was broken over his sin. And when you understand the penalty of sin, when you understand that you deserve death, hey, that's you're going to be broken over that sin. The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's why David says, according to thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies. David knew he should have been put to death, and he's seeking out for mercy from God and according to His loving kindness. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You see, when you're broken because of your sin, and you take that to the Lord, He is going to have mercy upon you. He is going to abundantly pardon. David was broken here. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Well, let me ask you, when is the last time you were grieved over your sin? When is the last time we were grieved over our sin? When was the last time that we wept over our sin because it broke the fellowship of God? Because we realized we were broken over that sin, and we realized that that sin wasn't against anybody else, but it was only against a holy, righteous God. We live in a day when sin, people want to explain away sin and excuse away sin and rename sin, but when you are broken, you see sin exactly the way it is. If you would, hold your place here, but flip over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter number 18. And we see here the publican in the temple here in Luke chapter 18. And look here at verse number 10. Verse 10 through 14 here. We'll look at this for a moment. In Luke chapter 18, in verse number 10, says here, the two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now you see, this Pharisee, this self-righteous man, well, look at all these other people. Look at all these other sinners. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like they are. Look at them other men. Look at them. He goes on, he goes, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes in the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let me think about that for a moment. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, look at that. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He was humble. He knew he was broken over his sin. And he just called out and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just like David in Psalm 51 here, he threw himself at the mercy of God, not getting what we deserve here. You see, Jesus said the publican went home justified, broken over his sin. Number two we got here. Tonight I want you to see, if you flip back over to Psalm 51, I want you to see here that David was broken before God, not before man. David was broken before God, not before man. In Psalm 51, look at verses 4 through 6 here. It says right here, verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David was broken before God. He wasn't broken for some man. That's a big difference there. There's a big difference between feeling sorry for your sin or sorry for doing something to somebody and being broken over your sin before God. Before God. Remember, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He wasn't broken for a man. He was broken for a holy, righteous God. In 2 Samuel 12:13, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. All sin is against God. We say, well, yeah, David sinned against Uriah. Yes, he did. David sinned against Bathsheba. Yes, he did. Yes, he sinned against other people as well. Yes, but ultimately all sin is against God. And when you're truly broken before God, you will stop comparing yourself to other people. I'm not as bad as, like we just read here with the account of the Pharisee. You know, here, I'm better than they are. I don't go to the bars like they do. I don't listen to country music like they do. I don't do what they do. Look at me. I tithe, I fast, I do all these things. But when you're broken over your sin, you're just going to not even lift your eyes. You're going to pound your... God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? David says, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He's not looking for somebody that's just going through the motions. Not looking for someone who's just repeating some words or acting religious. Okay? God is interested in brokenness. He wants us to be broken over our sin for Him. Now, brokenness means no more hiding. No more pretending. No more acting spiritual while rotting on the inside. Look at there at verse 8. He says there in verse 8 that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The sin that had caused the sin that David had been living with, the conviction of his sin that he had been living with, felt like the bones, like God had broken his bones. Right? That was the conviction and everything that was going on with his sin in his life on this time, and he wants us to be broken. God's discipline, God's hands God's conviction had crushed him all the way to his bones. And he felt it. He felt that physically here. And you know what, God, with God, we think a lot of times that we can hide parts of our life from God, or we can hide parts of our heart. Well, you can have this part, but this is mine. But you know what? You can't hide anything from God. You know, if nothing else, in the last 3 weeks, we should understand that we can't hide anything from God. God sees the heart. He sees right through the facade. He sees right through the flesh. He sees right through the words. He sees right through our actions. And He sees right to the heart. Right to the heart of things. Right? It's kind of like in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, you know, Nicodemus was a religious man, and Nicodemus just starts talking and talking, and Jesus didn't even entertain his conversation. He just said, "Hey, unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven." It's like, you got to be born again, right? But hey, here we look in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of the stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord sees the heart. He knows when we're broken over our sin. He knows if we're just going through the motion. When we're broken, being broken doesn't say, "Well, I feel bad. I feel bad about that." It says, "Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong." It doesn't even matter. "Lord, I don't quite understand what you're saying here, but I get the fact that I am wrong and you are right." Romans 3:4, "Let God be true and every man a liar." David here, he's saying, "God, whatever is my punishment, I'll take it. Whatever, hey, if you strike me down, if death is what I deserve, if death is what you're going to hand down to me, I will take it. Hey, if you take the crown, if you take the kingdom, whatever it is, hey, if you take my child, I have no right to complain. I have no right to complain because I have sinned against you. I have sinned against the Lord. You are holy. You are just. And I have sinned." That's what brokenness sounds like. And David here is broken before God. He's not broken before a man. If you flip over, hold your place here, but turn over to Isaiah chapter number 6. In Isaiah chapter number 6, we see here in Isaiah chapter 6
that Isaiah gets a vision of heaven. He gets a vision of heaven here, and when he gets this vision of what's going on in heaven, he says, "Woe, woe unto me, woe is me." Here, look here in Isaiah chapter 6, starting here in verse 1. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." This is what's going on in heaven. The seraphims, holy, 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 worshiping the Lord day and night. And Isaiah gets this vision right here. And in verse number 5, he says this. He says, "Then said I, Woe is me! Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Amen. Hey, imagine that. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we drop to our knees. When we see how holy God is, it should just cause us to, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." The closer you and I get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the closer we get to the glory of the Lord, it should cause us to see how sinful we really are. Right? We read the verses. "There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death." But if you truly get that, if you're truly broken over your sin before a holy, righteous God, this ought to be the case. "Woe is me, Woe is me.
David was broken not because he sinned against a man or a woman, but because he sinned against the holy God that he loved. The holy God that he loved so much. Moving on here, number three, I want you to see that David was broken and he was ready to repent. If you turn over and back into Psalm 51, back in Psalm 51, and look here in verses 10 through 12. Look here in verses 10 through 12. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation,
and uphold me with thy free spirit." So far we see here David has been broken over his sin, and we see David is broken before a holy, righteous God that he loves so much. And now we see David is broken. He's ready to repent. He's ready to turn from that sin. He's ready to have forgiveness. He's ready to serve the Lord again. Now some people, they're not ready to repent. Some people just feel bad about their sin. They feel bad they got caught in their sin. They feel bad about the consequences of their sin. But they aren't ready to give it up. They're not ready to give up their sin. They want to hold on to this. They want that cleansing without the change part. But that's what repentance is. You're not truly broken until you're broken enough to repent. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5 say the exact same thing. The Bible says in Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Verse 5, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Two times. There's a great warning there. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. Now repentance, what does that mean? It means it's a change in mind that leads to a change life. And we see some words David used throughout the psalm. He says, "Purge me." He says, "Wash me." He says, "Blot out." He says, "Create in me a clean heart." He says, "Restore unto me." Words like this, we see here that David is broken and he's ready to repent. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You say, "I got this thing, this sin I'm in. Hey, how do I..." Hey, confess it. The blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sin. Repent, turn from it. They don't, "I feel kind of bad I got caught in this sin." That's not repentance. Repentance. Hey, you know, this sin is wickedness. It is sin against God. Hey, I've changed my mind against that sin and I'm changing my life. I'm not going back that road again. It's a change in, you know, it's a change. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Listen, we have the promise. Those two promises right there are great promises in 1 John. Right? We have the promises, but do we ever take advantage of them? Or we just kind of mess around and say, "You know, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins and I'm sorry for all my..." No. We got to call sin what it is. God calls sin, sin. We got to call sin what it is. We got to call drunkenness, drunkenness. It's not alcoholism. We got to call all these sins. He calls them adultery. He calls them murder. It's not his mistake that he made. It is sin. He had sinned against God. But now he's ready to repent. Now he's ready to get to a confession of his sins. He's ready to get forgiveness of his sins. He's ready to get a cleansing of his sins. And you notice in verse number 12, David asks to restore the joy of my salvation. He doesn't say, "Restore my salvation." He doesn't say anything about losing his salvation. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Salvation should be a joy. You should be happy you're a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. You should be happy. But so many Christians today are walking around like they're not very joyful, are they? They look like they've been defeated in this world. Listen, we are not going to hell. If you're saved, you're not going to spend one millisecond in hell. That's joy in that, is there not? You never have to experience that eternal torment, that eternal flame, with
the gnashing of teeth and all of those bad things that go along with that separation and death and hell and cast into the lake of fire. There should be joy in that. There should be joy in that. But David longed for that joy. That sin had hindered that joy. When you and I get into sin, that hinders our relationship with the Lord. It hinders our walk. We don't lose our salvation. We lose that fellowship. We lose that sweet time. David didn't ask God to restore his salvation because he knew he never lost it. If there was ever a place in the Bible that could talk about losing your salvation, this would be a great example right here. But that's not what we're talking about. Nowhere in the Bible does he say you can lose your salvation. You lose the fellowship. As you're broken over your sin, as we read the account here in Psalm 51, we can see David was broken over his sin. But God says eternal life, it means eternal life. Everlasting life means everlasting life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It means just that. Never perish means never perish. Never perish. In Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed. You got the Holy Spirit promised. Jesus meant what he said. If Jesus did mean what he said, then you can never know you have eternal life. In 1 John 5:13, he says, you can know you have eternal life. He wants us to know. That's why he gave us the book. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How long is everlasting? It's everlasting. John 3:36. He that believeth on him, or he that believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Everlasting life means everlasting life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death on to life. Let me just say, Jesus meant what he said. He means eternal life. He means forever and ever and ever. If there was ever anybody in the Bible that could lose their salvation, I think David would be up for the running. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But he didn't lose his salvation. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Hey, we say we want a revival in our life. But how bad do we want it? How bad do we want it? Do we want it enough to change some things in our life? Do we want it enough to repent of some sin? Do we want it enough to stop gossiping? Do we want it enough to get off of the TV? Do we want it enough to forgive someone who's hurt us? How bad do we want it? Do we want it enough to quit hiding sin? How bad do we want it? David said, create in me a clean heart. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I got one more here for you. Last thing we're going to look at here tonight. I want you to see that David was broken, but God used him again. David was broken. David had sinned. David is broken, but God uses him again. Here back in Psalm 51, get back there in Psalm 51. Look here in verses 13 through 15. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. Some people think, when they've sinned, that God puts them up on the shelf, never to be used again. Some people think that God has just finished with them. But I've got news for you here, and so does David here in Psalm 51. God not only forgives sinners, but he uses them. He still wants to use sinners today. David had committed wicked sin, we know that. But because of his brokenness, because that he was broken over his sin, He was able to repent of his sin. He was able to turn from his sin. God forgave him, and God used him again. And God will use you and I again. God wants to use you and I again, even when we get into sin. David is saying here, Lord, when you cleanse me, hey, I won't just sit. I won't just sit in the pews, and I just won't sit there and just sit there. I'll enjoy it. He goes, I'll serve you again. Look there in verse 13. He says in verse 13 that he's going to teach others, right? He's going to teach others, right? Teach them what? Hey, the gospel. He's going to pass out tracts. He's going to go soul winning. He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to see people saved. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. Hey, when you cleanse me, I'm going to go screaming from the top of my mouth that God loves the whole world and sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. He was buried. Hey, He rose again the third day. It's all in the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers all of our sins. But not only that, he says, I'm going to praise Him with singing. I'm going to praise my Lord. Hey, when you heal, I'm going to praise you, Lord. He says here, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Hey, he's just going to sing unto the Lord. Doesn't matter if you have a voice or not. He's just going to sing unto the Lord. Amen. And then he says there he's going to offer sacrifices of worship. But now David knows the only kind of sacrifice God really wants isn't an animal. It's a broken spirit. Let me get over there and look at that there in Psalm 51. Let me show you that there. Psalm 51. Look there in verses 16 and 17 here. He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give. Hey, if there's some animal sacrifice that I could do, hey, I'll do it. I'll sacrifice anything, any animal. But he says, thou delightest not in burnt offering. That's not going to cut it. Verse 70, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit. You get that? A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, God is looking for people who are broken. Broken over their sin and ready to repent and ready to be used of the Lord. Is that you? Is that any of us here today? You know, I'm reminded of Peter. Peter, in John chapter 21, we know that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Right? And in John chapter 21, Jesus came. He came to Peter, and he restored him. He gives him three times. Asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, do you love me? Three times he asks him there. But in each time, Peter says, yes. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus told him the what? He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You see, Peter was broken. He went out after he denied Jesus and he wept. He was broken. He had denied his God. He had denied the Lord. He was broken, but God restored him. He restored him. And you know what happened after that? Acts chapter 2 happened. He went out, preached a message on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. They went out and preached. Peter preached and 3,000 souls were saved that day. You see, God still uses sinners. God still used David. God still used Peter. God still used me. God can still use you if you're ready. Are you ready? Is there some sin? Is there something going on? You need to repent. You got to repent. You got to turn from it. Failure in life doesn't have to be final. Hey, we've all messed up. We've all sinned. The Bible tells us that. We look all through the Bible and we see all throughout the Bible where people like David, people like Peter fell into sin. Wicked sin. But God restored them. And God used them. Amen. And God still can restore you and use you again. David didn't deserve another chance. David didn't deserve a second chance. He deserved to die, but God gave him another chance. God gave him mercy. And so I just want to say to you that God will give us all another chance if we're willing to be broken. If we're willing to be broken, we will see the blessings that come from being broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You might say, well, preacher, I've messed up. So did David. You might say, I'm not useful anymore. God can't use me anymore. Neither was David until he got broken. We got to come to that point where we all get broken over our sin and ready to turn from our sin and repent. Brokenness of our sin. Blessings come from being broken. Let's pray.